Yeah, forgiveness is setting the prisoner free and then realizing the prisoner is you. I think that's quite powerful. So, okay, so I put the right password in, we might have business. So, this is part two, and kind of part two and three of the session I did. Who was here last time we spoke about forgiveness? See your hands. Cool. No, I think you missed it, Nathan. So last time in the session on forgiveness, so if we could have the slides, please, Howard. That'd be great. I'm not sure if you guys want to sit there. I might be able to see a bit better. So last time we spoke about forgiveness. And I'm going on to part two. So from this is based on the section from the Lord's Prayer. And he said, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Oops. Forgiveness is the cornerstone of following Jesus. So last time we spoke about forgiving others. So people have hurt us. That we need to forgive, and we focused on that. So a really quick recap, see if you can remember. And if anyone wants that slides for that session who missed it, come and talk to me, because this is an important subject. So last time we spoke about the unholy trinity, unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. And in Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15, Jesus says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive other people, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty powerful. And last time we had three props. As you know, I like props. And we had three props. We had a bottle of poison. Don't worry, Rachel, that is your water bottle, but there's nothing. We had the hook. There was a hook, and then we had some handcuffs, which Ruth kindly put them on, and we did get them off eventually, right? But we spoke about what's it like when we hold unforgiveness, and the poison was like having some poison for someone else, but you're actually drinking it yourself because you're unforgiving. The handcuffs was by not forgiving someone, you remain connected to them. So wherever you go, you're holding that hurt and pain. So you actually, you know, by not forgiving them, you're connected still, which is not good for you. And also the hook, which is a really painful place to be on the end of the hook when you're not forgiving. So who are we helping when we forgive ourselves? It's much more than the other person we're helping ourselves. It seems so unfair that the other person receives forgiveness when we were hurt, but we are happier and feel better when we're not full of the poison of unforgiveness, on the hook of bitterness, and wearing the handcuffs of resentment. We actually release the situation to God, and let him deal what he needs to do with the other person. If we trust God and choose to forgive, he will take care of the rest. So just a quick recap. So last time, the benefits, we said, if we forgive others, it's a key to emotional freedom and health. Massively important. Jesus demonstrated it and taught it to us. So we need to be obedient. We're called to be Jesus followers. So we need to be obedient to his teachings. Your relationship with God will flow more freely with the Holy Spirit if you're a forgiving person. Let God be the judge. And actually, being forgiving keeps Satan from getting an advantage over you. He will whisper in your ear, you know, don't forgive that person, they're nasty, how could they hurt me? And he will just love you staying in that environment. So we need to ignore that guy. You'll be open. If you're a forgiving person, you'll be open to healing, enhanced healing, blessing, and obedience. Only this morning I heard of a testimony where a lady was called to pray for a lady, and God spoke to her and said, this lady has unforgiveness in her heart. So the lady praying for her stopped for a minute and then said, challenged the lady on it. And this lady hadn't received healing before for this condition. And the lady helped her go through the forgiveness, then prayed again, and then the lady was healed. So unforgiveness can be a blocker for your healing. How do we forgive deep hurts? So Connie Ten Boom is a wonderful lady. She says, a good piece of advice I can give you is this. Immediately forgive the person who says or does something against you. Then the devil has no chance of letting a shadow remain in your heart. I think that's so good. It's not easy, but it's something that we can think about, digest. And then lastly, last time, how to forgive. Decide, depend and obey. Obey God, resist the devil. Depend on the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of the things with forgiveness, we need to lean on the Holy Spirit. Only through him can we really truly forgive. And he's our helper in through all this. And obey. Let go and let God heal us. So that was last time. So today, I've actually grouped the next two together because they kind of fit together. And actually, as I talk about this unforgiveness, so many more things kind of spill out. So some things I'll add into the next session. Do you need to ask God's forgiveness for anything that you've done, thought, or said? Are you perfect? Are you perfect? No. We are human beings and we mess up. In what ways can we do things wrong? Physically, we can hurt others, hurt ourselves. Spoken, criticism, put downs, teasing. I've seen a lot of teasing through my life at different people, and people make it sound like it's fun, but it's not. It's actually digging at the person, which is not good. Swearing. Actually, what you listen to or watch, if it's against God's plan for your life, it's bad and it's a sin. And we, as Christians, we need to watch what we're watching and listen carefully. And if the Holy Spirit prompts something in you that you shouldn't be really watching this, listen to him, because he talks a lot of sense and he wants our best. Inactivity, ignoring God. We can ignore God. You know, and deny God when he's talking to us or giving us, asking us to do. We can choose to deny him. And also got here thoughts. And that's an interesting one, and we'll unpack that one a bit more. How to deal with thoughts. So I don't think initial thoughts in us are a sin when it initially comes in. It's a poke, it's a prod. This is the reason why in the scripture it says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So the thoughts come in, and if it's a bad thought, we need to let Holy Spirit help us to judge it and decide not to accept it and dwell on it. That is the important thing. The thought will turn into a feeling if we stay with that thought, and the feeling will become a behavior. So we'll act something out. Like here, for example, the thought, I must be stupid, I'm definitely going to fail this time. The feeling, then I feel sad and frustrated, and then I choosing to do something bad or to act on it. So when the thoughts come in, this specifically works for temptation as well. When you're tempted, we need to capture that thought and make it obedient to God. Thoughts come knocking at the door. It's your decision if you open that door and let it come in. Then it becomes a sin. Keep the door of your heart and mind guarded. What happens when we don't ask God for forgiveness? So we just go through life normally. It builds up and it causes a block between us and God. It changes us. We become angry. We become resentful. We become bitter. We become more distant from God. When you don't forgive, you kind of hide away from God, and it becomes a distance. Increased guilt and shame. We'll talk about this in a bit more in a minute. What's the difference between guilt and shame? If you look at the two pictures below, there's a heavy weight on the guilt here. The shame is there as a kind of a hiding. Also, when we don't forgive, don't ask forgiveness from God, we'll find it hard to walk in forgiveness for others.
Shame is if someone's done something wrong, they're sorry for what they've done, and they want forgiveness.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Duncan. Yeah, thank you. So if we don't forgive, if we don't ask for forgiveness for ourselves, I don't think we find it harder to forgive others. It's the kind of thing that goes together. So I need 3 willing volunteers. Mr. Rowe, come on. Oh, there we go, there we go. Thank you, Nick.
Okay.
I'll forgive you for picking up.
So if you'd like to line up and face our beautiful audience. Duncan, can you carry that one over there? Nathan, Keith. So, what have we got here? So, 3 comments on guilt. So, who's got the first one? Duncan, if you want to hold it up and let everyone see it.
It says shame.
No, hold on. No, let Rachel read it. From
guilt.
Guilt. I did something bad.
Yeah, so guilt. I did something bad. Now, Duncan, if you could turn that around, if it's for shame, Rachel, could you read that one?
I am bad.
Okay.
That means I'm sorry.
Yeah. So guilt is I did something bad. Shame is I am bad. It's quite different things, isn't it? Very different things. Okay, Nathan, Rachel, can you read this?
Guilt is a wound.
Ah. Nathan, turn it around.
Shame is a scar.
Yeah, guilt is a wound. Shame is a scar. It's a scar that stays with you long term if you let it. And Keith?
Guilt is usually connected to an event.
Yeah. And turn it around, please, Keith.
Shame is tied to a person.
So guilt is connected to an event. Shame is tied to a person. Thank you, you 3. John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he forgives us and purifies us. This means we do not need to let shame and guilt control us. Rather, we can embrace forgiveness and our identity and worth in Christ. As believers, isn't all forgiveness all done at the cross? Anyway, why am I talking about this? If our debt is fully paid, why would we need to keep asking God to forgive us? Jesus did say, "It is finished," in John 19:30. There's this thing called justification. To be justified, just if I had never sinned. In Romans 5:1 it says, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ. What justified mean is we've received Jesus' righteousness. We give him our guilt and shame and he gives us his righteousness. Just in the example there of the believer. The guilt, Jesus died on the cross for all our sin. And we can be made righteous through him. And that's just a wonderful thing. There's no condemnation for anyone who's in Jesus. So, what kind of nuggets have we got in the Bible about forgiveness? And maybe a handful of you read these out. If you'd like to choose a verse that means something to you and read it out.
once again you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. That's Micah chapter 7, verse 19.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ruth.
I know that those people from our past, the same time after I went to church, and they didn't want me there.
Right.
And when I seen them, I never took vengeance on them.
No.
And I tried to forgive them.
Yeah.
And that's why I just ignored them when they mocked me.
Yeah. Bless you, Duncan. That's good. Good. That's good. Not an easy situation. Rachel, do you want to read the next
one? I'll read one and then praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Psalm
103, verses 2 to 3. Yeah. Father, the Father, then from the sunrise to a sunset, that's how far you removed our guilt from us.
Yeah, thank you, Nathan. Yeah.
Back to that one at the top, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Just a sentence. I had to learn that by just off the head. When I was 19, when I was baptized and the baptismal classes, and I've never forgotten that verse. And the important thing is, all those years later, it just remains true, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Every single moment of every single day.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. At last, anyone else? Well,
me? Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
Yeah.
I think there's one more at the bottom. James 5:16. Anyone else want to read that?
Can I see that?
You do it.
I'll do it. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. James 5:16.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so much. There's so much in the Bible about forgiveness. And I don't know, when you're reading your Bible at home, read it aloud, because not only you're looking at it and you're reading it, you're hearing it as well. So that's really good to do both. Okay. How can we ask God for forgiveness? Because of Jesus, we can approach the throne and stand before God and repent. Okay, hold on. Sorry.
Like I said, if someone's horrible to you, like they
Me,
only I never harbored vengeance on them.
No, that's right.
I tried not to hate them for the way they treat me.
Yeah, you've got a very kind heart, Duncan. Yeah, that's so good. So, repent, say sorry to God. And actually, repent means turn away as well. Turn away from the what you're doing. Turn towards our loving Father. Sorry. I've got two hands clicking two different things. It's interesting. Turn towards our loving Father, and he is faithful to forgive. Ask Holy Spirit to help you receive forgiveness. That's an important one, I think, as well. Sin separates us from God, but he had a plan. I liked the John 14, verse 6 in the Amplified. Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God. He is the only way. Whatever we hear in this world, Jesus is the only way to God. Period. End of the argument. And the real truth and the real life, and no one comes to the Father through me. But through me. Thank you, sir. You get the prize for being awake. So when we're called, We believe in this church that you make a decision to invite Jesus into your heart and let him acknowledge him as the Saviour. And then he comes in, and then the Holy Spirit comes in and will change you. So, you know, there's a prayer here where Jesus, we believe you are the Son of God. You died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and restore to life. So if you haven't prayed that prayer, don't leave this room until you have later with us. And that's, you know, it's an opportunity to you may only have today. We don't know what's going on tomorrow. And this is a cast iron guarantee. We have to accept Jesus as Lord before we die. It's very, very important. What does it feel like when you are forgiven by God? Three pictures here. There's a guy taking a shower. Have you had your spiritual shower? There's a little cheeky thing in the middle having a bath. Soaking and letting the water cleanse. And there's God's unending grace, like a shower, again, being poured down. What does it feel like when you're forgiven by God? How do you feel, Duncan? Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Anyone else?
You feel alive.
Alive, yeah, that's a good one, Nathan. Thank you.
You feel more happy in yourself.
Yes, good. Good, good. Anyone else?
You feel lighter.
Lighter? Mm. Interesting. Anyone else? Okay, so I've got some here. Washed clean. You feel clean. Alive.
Yeah.
Free. You can feel chained and locked before. Content. Any people feel discontented with life? I've gone through many phases in my life of feeling discontented. There's real contentment in God. Lighter. That's it. Rachel has been reading the slides. You haven't even seen the slides. It's quite impressive. Empowered. You just feel empowered to do other things. When you're forgiven, when you're not forgiven, you're feeling quite stuck, and you know, but empowered releases. Happy is another one we've got there. So, but this is another part to it. So we can ask God for forgiveness, but what about forgiving ourselves or not being able to accept that forgiveness? Are there some things that you struggle to accept forgiveness for? I know I've gone through this in my life in the past, and there's some real powerful pictures here. A no entry. You just feel like what you've done has discounted you from God's presence. There's a picture here of a back with a load of scars. You may have gone through so much pain, you now think you can't come close to God. There's a lady here chained up. She is just stuck, not able to move freely, not able to live properly. And this guy here, this one really speaks to me. This guy with a little bit of mud, he's just covered and struggling. So no way back. Maybe you're saying this, I can't change the past. I'm too dirty. I'm not worthy of God's unconditional love. I am forgiven, but I need to keep my distance from God. All things that we may say at some point in our life. Are you struggling to forgive yourself? Do you feel assured of God's forgiveness? In Micah 7:19, God says that he will throw the sins of his people into the depths of the sea. Have you ever thought about that, how deep the sea is? I think I looked this morning and said the average sea is 2.5 miles deep. Now that's a long way. And he throws our sins into the depths of the sea. I'm going to ask Rachel to come. She's got a short testimony to read. Or you can read it from your chair if you want. Of a lady that I found on the internet this. And it's a testimony of someone receiving the forgiveness of God. Thank you.
Forgiving, excuse me, forgiving yourself and finding freedom from shame, lorry shoemaker. Bearing the load of shame wears us out. The days become long and the tears many. Depression seeps into the crevices of our soul. It hides us from the world, but eats away at who God intends for us to be and the freedom with which he desires us to live. My past held much that grieved my heart. It was filled with confusion, mistakes and missteps, then compounded by painful rejections at the hands of those I thought I could love and trust the most. Somewhere, at some point, I locked eyes with rejection and held onto its gaze. I received it as my truth and my identity. There, I remained stuck for far too long, watching, asking, what is it that I'm missing? Why am I less than everyone else? What will make me worthy of approval? I saw the best of everyone else and the worst of myself. When I look back, I am amazed at God's hand in my life, even when I didn't understand the power of his love. He gave me wisdom, strength, courage, tenacity, discernment. I was a survivor, surviving abortion, an abusive marriage, and a disease that nearly took my kidneys. Struggling through the financial impact of divorce and medical bills, I still flourished in a teaching career. I was tough. I knew it wasn't healthy to remain stuck in rejection and shame, so I did the work by going to counselling, talking with my pastor, and reading the right books. It helped a little, but not enough to tear away the shame wrapped tightly around me. You see, I failed to use one of our most powerful weapons in the fight against shame, the weapon of forgiveness. For me, it wasn't the forgiveness of those who had sinned against me. I had crossed that bridge and felt that layer of pain and bitterness lifted, but instead it was the forgiveness of myself. I entertained the idea of Jesus forgiving me, but somehow I couldn't forgive myself. I was in a self-made prison of defeat, with the key to unlock the door in my hand. God's love and grace were freely offered to me, only I would embrace it. Instead of accepting his grace, the key to forgive, freedom and victory, I pushed him aside and punished myself. But God, he gave me one moment where it all became too much. Every failure and every rejection flooded my spirit. But God, he gave me one friend who spoke the truth in love and followed it with a plan of action. But God, he gave me the space of a trusted environment. All the shame and pain that ravished my soul poured out in that space where two or more were present. With his light now illuminating the darkness, the enemy's hiding places were revealed. Prayer moved mountains and victory was claimed. That evening, the enemy's perpetual cycle stopped. I began by forgiving myself, and his grace and truth replaced shame. Rejection was given back to its rightful owners. Now the process of denying its power over my life had begun. It was a great big step toward my something better with Jesus.
Thank you very much. A powerful testimony. So, let's have some truth. Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit heal you deep down in your being today? Today is the day of healing. It may be in something that you've held for so long, and it's time to give it up. Just some of the pictures there. Look at the lady on the left just receiving her healing. It's really powerful. We are forgiven. We are healed. We are loved this morning. We are cleansed by God if we let him heal us and love us. And we are free. We are called to live a free life through Jesus. through all the pain and agony he went through, that was for you this morning and for the rest of your days. So living a life of forgiveness, we're called to live a pure life. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they shall see God. So live with short accounts. When you need to ask God for forgiveness, ask him. Go through your life in a constant chat with God. I like this analogy. So when you go through your days, God is with you, he is in you. Just have a just be open to constantly talk to him as you go through your trials and stuff in days. When something frustrates you and is anger, ask the Holy Spirit to help you with it. Listen to the Holy Spirit and his promptings when he does point something out. Maybe some attitude you have or something you say. The Holy Spirit may just say, yeah, that's not quite right, Frank. Or, you know, listen to those promptings. Ask for forgiveness when needed and forgive others and yourself. Really important to forgive yourself as well. Ignore the lies of the enemy who will whisper in your ear and tell you you have a right to remain offended. We don't have a right to remain offended. We want to be free of those things. When past guilt and shame surfaces, remind yourself what God said in his word. There's some real big promises there. Sorry. Love God with all your heart, mind and spirit in this life of forgiveness. So, let's just have a really quiet time on two questions here. Do you need to ask God's forgiveness for anything? And this is a private thing, so this is between you and God. And maybe Holy Spirit has been gently nudging you as I've been going through the talk. If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our wickedness. So, in a moment, ask Holy Spirit to bring to your mind anything you might need forgiveness. Then focus on the cross of what Jesus did for you. Confess your sin quietly to God. And then receive the forgiveness flowing. So let's just do that for a moment and see what Holy Spirit says to you. God knows every one of your thoughts, even before you speak, he knows. There's nothing you can hide from him. So whatever you came through your mind, you confessed, just receive the forgiveness from him this morning. It flows freely. And we celebrate that forgiveness each time we take communion through the wine, which is a sign of the forgiveness through Jesus' blood. And from that, you can move forward in freedom today. And the next question is, are you struggling to forgive yourself? Do you feel assured of God's forgiveness for you this morning? Micah 7:19, God says he will throw those sins of his people into the depths of the sea. It's not your role to carry these the rest of your life. You can be free of these things. Ask Holy Spirit to bring to your mind any things you're still holding, you're still carrying. Read that scripture to yourself and realize you don't need to hold these anymore. You can be forgiven. You are forgiven. Decide to forgive yourself. God loves you and has forgiven you. Let that sink in for a moment. Receive the unconditional love of God this morning flowing freely down to you. And move forward in freedom. God invites you to a closer walk with him. And through the walk of forgiveness, we can learn how to do that. We're called to live pure lives. We can walk out of church today lighter and more open to receive Father God's blessings. Now, I know this is difficult, and God's prompted me to bring something to help if someone needs more ministry. And I've got a blanket here. And I got given this for my birthday last week by our precious son, Joe, who's got one as well. And Nathan, can I have a volunteer? This, if someone here needs this extra bit, this is an invitation for you just to receive the love of God in a maybe a bigger way this morning for something maybe you've never forgiven. And this blanket is huge and it's cuddly and it's nice. And it, we just put it over Nathan there. And I sit there in my chair in the morning as I was preparing for this. I had this blanket around. You just have a sense of God's presence and covering, and it covers Nathan almost all. But that you know, if you, I'm just going to invite you this morning, when we're in during the work, the last song, or even after, if you just need that special time with God this morning, we're going to be standing over here. Come over and just have some blanket time, just for a little while, and Rachel and I will pray with you. Just so can we, this is important stuff, and church is about real stuff. It's about getting right and for us going out there and living our lives as God called us to be. So that's an invitation for you this morning. How does it feel, Nathan?
It's lovely. It's such a cozy, you know, it feels like you're in the presence of God.
Yeah. That's how much he loves you.
Yeah.
He covers you and you're warm.
Yeah.
Do you feel safe?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So, that. Thank you, Nathan, for that. So we're going to have the last song. And I just encourage you in this area. People do carry guilt and shame too much, but today is the day to let it go. So yeah, we're over here if you want some blanket time, but over to Simon. Thank you, Simon.